Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, join Gloria Copeland and her special guest Billy Brim as they continue their teaching, Praying in Unity. Learn how joining together in prayer can change your country. Now, here's Gloria.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. One of our very favorite friends is here, Billy Brim from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And boy, is she stirring things up this week.
Because the Holy Ghost is stirring us up.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost is stirring us up to prayer.
That's right.
Brother Hagin said there are certain things you can only get through united prayer. You can't get it any other way. Well, I thought we'd start with a couple of scriptures where they had united prayer. It's all through the Bible. But we're just going to look at a couple of them that you might not think of. And then later on, we'll get over to some New Testament ones. But, you know, the whole nation of Israel, Satan was trying to wipe it out. And you know the story of Esther. You know how the king of Persia, his wife, Vashti, he divorced her. And he'd gone out looking in the kingdom. And Esther he had found and to take the place and be the queen. And her name was Hadassah.
Hadassah.
Which is a flower. And it's the one it's the myrtle, what we know is the myrtle. So her name was Hadassah, her Jewish name, but he didn't really know that she, I don't think, was Jewish. And so there comes this evil Haman, and Haman has a plan to get rid of all the Jews. He's an Agagite. You remember Saul was told to kill Agag, and he didn't do it, the Amalekite. And so Haman is one of his descendants. If Saul had obeyed God, there wouldn't have been a Haman. But there was a Haman. And Haman was trying to get rid of all the Jews, and he made a plan to kill them all. So Esther is in the harem, you might say. Even though she's the queen, she's kept off with the women. And then her uncle, Mordecai, knows what's going on. He knows of the plan to get rid of the Jews. And he comes to tell Esther. And so I love this. He told the words to Esther. And then everybody knows this verse, which is Esther 4:14. For if thou altogether hold your peace at this time, Mordecai tells Esther, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now here's the part I want to get to. Then Esther bade them return, Mordecai this answer, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. They were going to fast and pray. She called a prayer meeting. And so I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. If I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. So all the Jews were in Shushan, the capital, were fasting and praying for 3 days. It'd be good if people would pray before they do things. Mm-hmm. I was talking to someone who needed to go and visit a young man in the hospital who's dying. And he's a newborn Christian, this man I was talking to. And I said, now pray, we'll pray, and the Holy Spirit will go before you. I don't know he'd ever want anyone to the Lord. But he'll go before you. So they were praying for those 3 days. Now, chapter 5 and verse 1. It came to pass on the third day that Esther put on, in the King James it says, her royal apparel, and stood in the inner court. But the word her and the word apparel are not there. It says, really, in the King James, it should have said what it says in the original Hebrew. It came to pass on the third day Esther put on royalty and stood in the inner court. Now here's what the Talmud says about that. The word royalty refers not to clothing, but to spiritual royalty. She took her place in the spirit. In other words, the holy prophetic spirit clothed her.
Amen.
They prayed 3 days. What happened? Holy Ghost came on her. And she walked in and did what she needed to do.
Praise God.
So corporate prayer has to do with the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, it did. Now here's another case of Daniel. I was recently teaching on Daniel at our prayer school. And here they are in captivity. And again, the devil's trying to wipe out Daniel and the three Hebrew children. And Nebuchadnezzar's had a dream. And he's told all the wise men, you have to tell me the dream and you have to tell me the meaning. And he starts killing them. He starts killing the wise men of his own people. So the decree went forth, chapter 2 of Daniel, and that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered, this is verse 14 of Daniel chapter 2. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He'd already started doing it. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Now here's the thing I want you to know, united prayer. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. He went back to the three Hebrew children, made the thing known, and they went into united prayer. We can't miss the place of united prayer. Oftentimes, you need a manifestation of the Holy Ghost that can only come through united prayer. And so they needed it. And they prayed together that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then God blessed the God of heaven, and he said, there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets.
Praise
but
God.
See, Daniel didn't just try to stand alone in his prayer. Sometimes we can do it, but this required something mm-hmm. bigger. And so he went back to those three Hebrew children for a joint prayer meeting, a united prayer meeting. They prayed, and then the Holy Spirit came with revelation. Also, he came with revelation to Esther. He told her what to do. Throw a banquet. Invite Haman. Do this. Do that.
Yeah.
He'll show you what to do. But there's something about united prayer that brings that. Hallelujah.
Praise
we'll read
God.
More about that tomorrow. But we're talking about this nation and how we were gathered together June 29th. And the Lord said at our united prayer meeting, he gave us revelation. You're praying here about the elections. I'm not going to anoint that. You are going to have an awakening to God. That's your need.
Mm-hmm.
See, he knew what our need was. And he interrupted our prayer meeting and he said, one thing will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God. So he put thoughts in our head. Part of them had to do with studying the awakenings. Part of them had to do with prayer, the part of prayer mm-hmm. in an awakening. Bless the Lord. Now I'm going to be reading to you again from this Patriot's Bible. It's just come out from Nelson. And oh my, I believe it's put here by God for this time.
I think so.
And it has in there inserts about the, I'm going to see all my grandchildren get this for Christmas. It has inserts in there about the colonial days,
the truth about history,
what it says, what our founding fathers
yes.
thinking and what they've said and what's printed on our monuments in Washington, D.C. You can find out what's printed on the Washington Monument, for instance. It's a declaration.
There was no separation between church and state.
And there's an engraving in stone of what their thinking was.
That's right.
So bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the Great Awakening, which came, we've studied about that. It came, and the wording of the Declaration of Independence came out of that. Then here comes the devil back, try to get people in a moral bad state, and they spreading out and growing big. And in 1804, we have what's called the Second Great Awakening. And I'm going to read you a little bit more about that from this Bible here, this Patriot's Bible. In the year 1800, nearly a million people had made their way west, settling in the Blue Ridge, Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, Northwest Indian Territory. Most did not have access to a church. It was because of the spread. And moral conditions once again went into decline. However, a second great spiritual awakening began that continued until the 1830s. Many historians refer to Logan County in Kentucky as its starting point, where several Methodist and Presbyterian ministers joined efforts in 1799. They actually started to pray. And held at Cane Ridge, Kentucky in 1801, a camp that would last for 2 or 3 nights. It drew, they say in here, from 15,000 to 20,000 people. I was there with a group of these people, Awakening for America, and they said that maybe as many as 35,000 people came.
No television, no radio.
No,
nothing.
Nothing.
People came
people
by the Spirit.
People just came by the Spirit. And they had a 3-day camp meeting. It was the first camp meeting. And 10,000 people were swept into the churches.
Praise God.
Bless the Lord. The great revival quickly spread throughout Kentucky, Tennessee, southern Ohio. And circuit riding preachers came out of this. They promoted Sunday schools. Children were taught reading, writing, and arithmetic. And the second Great Awakening, its focus was on personal salvation, and it accomplished far more than that, for it had a greater impact on secular society than any other in American history through its vast social concern. Through a multitude of channels, this revival encouraged Christians to become involved in causes dealing with prison reform, temperance, women's suffrage, and the crusade to abolish slavery. They said that second awakening is what made us like we are. It's what gave us a Bible Belt.
Praise
it's
God.
What made us
yes.
the society we are. Now then, they're going to move on down here, and they're going to talk about one of the preachers that came out of that just a little later was Charles Finney. And of course, I know you've heard about Charles Finney and read about Charles Finney, and we're going to read about him today from this book, Revival Fires. I'm going to be starting on page 92. Now, in 1825, now think about it, that outpouring, that second revival started like in 1804. We're now down to 1825. And Finney has come to the Lord during this time. And one narrator, this is Revival Fires, follow Finney here in this book, Revival Fire by Wesley Duell. One narrator of Christian biography has termed Charles Finney's memoirs, quote, perhaps the most remarkable account of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit's power since apostolic days. It is crowded with accounts of spiritual outpouring which remind one of the day of Pentecost. By 1832, Finney's revival movement had added several hundred thousand. Several hundred thousand one-man's revivals to the churches. His campaign in Rochester, New York seemed to prepare the way for the extensive revival of 1843 and 44, and then moving right on down to what we're going to know as the prayer revival that came in 1857. Probably 1 million people were brought into the kingdom of God during Finney's revivals.
My goodness, 1 million.
In 1857, I know there were 30 million people in America.
Yeah.
So this is before that, and 1 million were brought in. Bless the Lord. Then in the 1857, out of 30 million, 3 million were brought in. So these moves, these manifestations of the Holy Ghost brought people to God. And every single one of them had to do with prayer, especially Finney. Finney knew the power of prayer, and that's what we're talking about, because we have to pray. Mm-hmm. We have to pray in this awakening. We have to pray in God's Holy Ghost presence. In his early walk with the Lord, Finney learned many things about prevailing prayer and prayer burdens. He gathered some of the young men of Adams in the early morning before daylight for daily prayer. Finney began spending hours in prayer, often going to the woods to be alone with God. God poured out a spirit of prayer upon the young people that he fellowshipped with as they prayed faithfully. Now, as you pray, there will come upon you a spirit of prayer. When we started out with the noon prayers at Prayer Mountain, streaming them live, they're not today like they were. A spirit of prayer has pervaded us. And it's just amazing. Sometimes you'll be silent. And the presence of God is there. And people, we have as many as our little chapel will hold. And people come in that we don't know every time. Four Pentecostal ladies came 2 or 3 weeks ago and got so caught up in the Holy Ghost. And we had just been silent, and this one lady got so anointed. And then the Lord began speaking through her, I've been calling you and calling you and calling you. And we knew He's been calling us to prayer because He needs us
to
pray.
That's right. He wants to move.
And, you know, you can be in prayer meetings where there's no spirit of prayer. And you can tell it. It's dry bones.
Yeah.
And W.I. Evans said, they'll talk about, let's have a word of prayer. He said, that's nothing.
A word of prayer. I hadn't thought of that.
And Sister Jeannie Wilkerson said, prayer is never offered for the sake of men around you. Never. But yet people do it. They'll like preach a sermon to the person.
That is a
supposedly
good point.
Over the shoulder of God. Their prayers are directed more to what they want those people to hear.
Yeah, to people.
To people.
That's right.
That's not prayer at all.
That's really important, isn't it?
It's really important. And a spirit of prayer is the Holy Spirit. And He hooks you right up to God. People, as the spirit of prayer hit them, then people began to immediately be convicted by the Holy Spirit. I tell you, there's power in repentance. Power in repentance. You could be going to hell. And the power in repentance, real repentance, turn you right around.
Mm-hmm.
Sinners became so convicted, they could not sleep. It was harvest time when He first started, meaning it's harvest time in the natural, but in the spiritual, but it was the time to reap the harvest in the fields. But people threw down their implements in the field to come to a 1 o'clock p.m. service every day. The revival so blessed both the Presbyterians and the German congregational churches, they built new stone church buildings. Finney laid great stress upon prayer as an indispensable condition of promoting the revival. The means used were simply preaching, prayer, conference meetings, and much, much private prayer. Antwerp was a town 13 miles from where he started. And he walked through the village one day and he heard profanity. And so he spent much of the day in prayer over that village. He had such a tremendous prayer burden that he spent Sunday morning praying in the woods until time for the meeting in the schoolhouse. When he got there, it was packed with people. He just began to speak on John 3:16, and he wept copiously. And he told them that he felt they were on the verge of hell. A great portion of the 2,250 converts of that village were converted. He went to a nearby village. There had never been a religious service in that village. He preached directly to the people. And after about 15 minutes, the congregation began to fall from their seats. And they fell in every direction and cried for mercy. They never had a church service in the town. They don't know about falling under the power. They never saw it. They just had the power and they fell under it.
That's right.
If I had a sword in each hand, he said, I could not have cut them off their seats as fast as they fell.
I can see it. My goodness.
Indeed, nearly the whole congregation were either on their knees or prostrate. I should think in less than 2 minutes from the first shockwave that fell upon them. Everyone prayed for himself who was able to speak at all. There weren't any people saved, so they had all prayed for themselves. I, of course, was obliged to stop preaching, for they no longer paid any attention to me.
Wow. God was moving. Wasn't that something?
That's an outpouring.
That's right.
Of the Spirit. Of the presence.
The Spirit of God took over.
The Spirit of God took over, and that's what He has to do now.
That's right.
It can't be here in America anything really like we've known in our lifetime. It's got to be far more. Hallelujah. It tells about him going to Western in Oneida County. And when he got there, he met a Mrs. Harris who'd been wrestling in prayer day and night. When she met Finney, she said, the Lord has come. The work will spread over all the region. A cloud of mercy overhangs us all. We shall see such a work of grace as we've never seen. He went to Rome, New York. And there came such a presence that everybody sensed it. And people came to make fun. The sheriff of Utah, three people were making fun and drinking, and one of them fell dead that night. The sheriff of a wow. nearby village came over, and he was going to scoff at things. He sensed the God's presence, the sheriff of Utica. He went back and started a revival in Utica. Hmm. The immediate outpouring of the Holy Spirit came. He told the people, now listen to this. We talked about quickly this last week. Finney urged the people to pray to God earnestly and expectantly for an immediate outpouring of His Holy Spirit. He then told them if they united in prayer, they could get God's answer quicker than a letter would come from Albany. Finney wrote, "Indeed, the town was full of prayer. Go where you would, you heard the voice of prayer. Pass along the street. If two or three Christians happened to be together, they were praying. Wherever they met, they prayed. Whenever there was a sinner unconverted, they prayed for him." After 20 days, he went to the next town to attend a funeral, and there came out a revival. In the midst of the revival, the Oneida Presbytery met in Utica. An aged clergyman complained that everywhere he went in the town, people talked about prayer and revival. He got up in the presbytery meeting and made a violent speech against the revival. That night, many Christians prayed fervently that the revival would not be hindered by the speech. In the morning, this aged minister was found dead in his bed.
Ooh, boy.
Ananias and Sapphira. They died in the midst of an outpouring.
You want to join it, not fight
yes.
it.
Yes. Finney lists the striking characteristics of this revival. Number one, the prevalence of a mighty spirit of prevailing prayer. That's number one. That's what we have to have first. Number two, as a result, there came an overwhelming conviction of sin. That will come in an outpouring. It can come in the capital of the United States. It can come in the capital
That's right.
of Australia. It can come in our great buildings. Sudden and over and powerful. He listed as number three, one of its characteristics of this move, sudden and powerful conversions to Christ. Number four, great love and abounding joy of the converts. Number five, intelligence and stability of the converts. They said 80% of his converts stayed true to God.
80%.
Yes. Number six, great earnestness, activity, and usefulness in prayers and labors for other. He had a man that joined him in prayer and that prayed before he went everywhere, a Father Nash.
Yes, and, I've heard of Father Nash.
Oh, yeah, Father Nash. And we'll start with Father Nash tomorrow and talk a little bit more about these things. We need some Father Nashes in our days.
Amen.
This Father Nash, he would precede, he and a man named Clary, they would precede Finney where he went. And they
prepare
would
the place
they would prepare
with prayer.
It. They would agonize in prayer. They usually wouldn't go to the meetings. But Finney said sometimes he would get down by Father Nash. And Father Nash would be in travail. 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 The Bible speaks of it. And Finney would get right down inside of him. And he would pick up. He could take that on him, what Father Nash had, and travail
Praise
in
God.
The Holy Ghost. And then
My
these
Jesus.
Great things happen. They don't happen without prayer.
That's right. We've got to.
We have to have
We
power.
Have to go after these things, church, if that's what we want. And that's what
and
we
that's
want.
And that's what we want.
Billy and I'll be right back.
Prayer is two-way communication with God. Prayer connects us to God. Prayer allows God to hear us. Prayer creates a place for us to hear God. God hears you. Through faith-filled prayer, God makes things happen. Individual and united devotion comes through prayer. Prayer changes us, changes situations, changes the world. The Call to Prayer package is two dynamic books, Spiritual Warfare, a handbook on how to avoid spiritual deception, and The Man Who Talks with the Flowers, the life story of George Washington Carver, which reveals the importance of love and dedication to prayer. Combined with a potent DVD set, Billy Brim Ministries Prayer School, taught by Billy Brim and Lynn Hammond. Prayer School shows you how to make a place in your life to hear God. Every move of God in the earth comes on the heels of prayer. The Call to Prayer package transforms religion to reality. God is listening. Talk to Him. Order your copy of the Call to Prayer package, now available for just $50. For a product discount and faster processing, log on to kcm.org and order online. This new package will help you understand the role of prayer in your life and how important it is to hear from God. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-600-7395. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order today.
You know, one of the wonderful things is you don't have to be in a group of people to receive Jesus as the Lord of your life. You don't have to be struck down. You don't have to fall out under the power. It is just a decision you make. If you're tired of trying to live by yourself and things not working for you and seeming like everything is a curse that comes upon you, you need help. We all need help. And I'm going to encourage you to just pray this prayer after me. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
And mean it with your whole heart. Jesus.
Jesus.
I receive you.
I receive
you. As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
Take my life.
Take my life.
And do something with it.
And do something with it.
I receive it.
I receive it.
I receive the blessing.
I receive the blessing.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I know that prayer works because that's what I prayed. And I didn't know anything. I mean, you've been listening. You've heard a lot, but I didn't know anything except I was desperate. We want to send you, if you did that today, or if you just want these books, we want to send you these five books absolutely free. The Force of Righteousness, Christ, We're in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit. God's interested in you, and we're interested in you. So just write us. We'll send them to you absolutely free. Glory to God. Get in a good word church and listen to the Word of God. Stay with the broadcast where we teach the Word 6 days a week in most places. And so you'll learn and find you a place where it's exciting to go to. You know, in this day and hour, you can find a good church. You can find a place that is exciting. It's fun. You want to go because you're hearing something. Billy and I'll see you again tomorrow. And remember this,
Jesus is
Lord.
If you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. They've put together a 5-book package to help you get started learning your Bible and understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. For faster processing, order your salvation package through our website at kcm.org. Take hold of the promises of God and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you on the next Believer's Voice of Victory. Come to these exciting meetings. Hello, My Name is God, live, a meeting with Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons on November 20th and 21st. Join them at the Atlanta Marriott Century Center in Atlanta, Georgia. The Copeland Family Meeting in Orlando, Florida is December 3rd through 5th. Join George and Terry Pearsons, Steve and Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons for a time of ministry at the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center. For more information, go to kcm.org.